Let's open our hearts to these wonderful words from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. In other words, these were the last words that our Lord spoke to his disciples. And you know, I believe we would all agree to this truth, that last words are important words. Even to us, when we're saying goodbye to someone that we perhaps will not see for a while, we want to say something to them that they can remember us by. The last words are tremendously important. And here the Lord Jesus, knowing he's soon to leave these apostles, these disciples of his, he's gathered them together, and he's giving to them these last words. Now I want you to notice the way in which it's stated here in fourth verse. Notice it says he commanded. He didn't ask them. It wasn't something to be arbitrated. He gave it to them as a command. And then, of course, we don't want to forget the Great Commission, because it tells us in Luke's Gospel, the last chapter, chapter 24, I believe it is, and about the 49th verse, he promised them, he said, Behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. So we know he's relating now to the gift of the Holy Spirit. I will send the promise of my Father upon you. And he tells them to tarry into the city of Jerusalem until they receive this endowment of power from on high. So we could go on. Many more scriptures would relate to this in John 16, another scripture, and many more. But we know that he was speaking to them when he tells them that they should wait for the promise of the Father. He was speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. He was speaking about this paraclete, as it's called, this one who would be sent, you might say, in his stead. Remember, Jesus told them it was expedient, it was necessary for him to go away. For he said, if I go not away, he said, the Spirit will not come, this promise will not come. But he said, if I go away, this Comforter, I will send him unto you. In other words, Jesus knew, as long as he was here in physical form, that you might say in that respect he was limited to that body, you see. He could only be one place at one time. He could only minister here and he could minister there. But he told them, always said, there's much more than this. He said, I'm going back to the Father. And he said, then when I arrive, the Father, I will ask him and he will give the Spirit. And I will send him, the Holy Spirit, back, the Spirit of truth. And when he has come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. He said, he'll take the things of mine and reveal them unto you. Jesus said, this Holy Spirit is coming back so that I'll not be limited. I'll not be circumscribed by a physical form, but my Spirit will come into the world, and all those that will receive, all those that will open their lives, all those who will acknowledge me as Lord, they will be the recipients of this same Spirit, the same Spirit that is ministered through me, Jesus could say. The same Spirit that caused Jesus, beloved, to lay hands on the sick. The same Spirit that worked through his life. He was sending that same Spirit until he could say, these works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these, because I go to the Father. And he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name on that day, he will give it you. Oh, can't you see, friend, what Jesus is doing? He's here at this last time. He's bringing back to their memory these things he's told them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's wanting them to realize how important it is that though they're his disciples, they've been in his Bible school, you might say, for over 3 years. They've listened to the words that have fallen from his lips. They've been taught by the Lord Jesus himself. But he says, you still have need of this. You must tarry until you receive this endowment. You must wait for the promise of the Father. And then that which you've heard, these things you've been taught, Jesus through the Holy Spirit would take and cause them to burn as a flame in the hearts of these men. And these men who were ordinary men, most of them unlearned men, many of them fishermen, that they would be set aflame by the power of God's Spirit. And the truth he had given them on the wings of the mighty power of God in their lives would soon circumvent this whole world. And there would be through these lives, beloved, the mighty move of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he tells them, he said, now just don't go out right now. He says, hold steady. He said, just wait. I'm going back to the Father, and the promise, he will come, and you'll be endued with power from on high, and then you'll be witnesses unto me. And he noticed, he said, he commanded them. But now notice. And he went on, of course, to say, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now look at this next verse. If they aren't like us, listen to what they said. But when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now he just told them what he wanted them to do. He just told them the most important thing was for them to wait until they were endued with power from on high. He wanted them to realize this was important. But now when they come together and they realize he's soon to leave, of course they realize he's the resurrected Lord. They had seen him crucified. They knew that this Lord of theirs had been risen from the dead. They knew this, that now he was in his glorified body. They had seen him come through a room. Remember, the doors were all shut, and the Lord came and stood there with them, remember? And, oh my, they were so astonished and astonished at his presence. And he had, well, for 40 days he'd been talking to them and proving himself alive by many infallible proofs, the Scripture says. So they could just about believe anything could happen. You can see that, being raised from the dead. Here he is in all of his glory. But seemingly he more or less is beginning to fade out of the picture. He no longer is going about ministering. He just more or less is shifting it over to them. And they said, Lord, now wait a minute. Aren't you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Don't you think it's time now that you can get all this thing brought about, you see? And you see what they're trying to do? They want to do their best to hold him here. Lord, you do this. Lord, you establish the kingdom. Lord, you're the king. Now, while you're here, just bring the kingdom about. And they were taking the promises, of course, of a restored kingdom, and of not fully understanding it. They were beginning to delve in it. No doubt they've been talking about it among themselves. You know they had. And here it comes boiling out. Lord, this must be the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel. We know you can do it, Lord. Oh, Lord, maybe we can be your generals. You know, although they've been right there to take their place. Lord, you just do it now. Now you see Jesus smile. You see that. Really, they've gotten clear away from what he told them to do. You see, they're getting over into this realm of what we could almost call it date setting. Lord, isn't this the time? The time. Don't worry about the dates. He's saying, just get filled with the Holy Spirit and let me use me. Let me use you for my glory, for friend, the purpose and will of God. Hallelujah. Until he comes, is that we occupy and do the will of God and be filled with the Holy Ghost and have some sheaves to lay at his feet. And so Jesus, when they began to get off the track, why, he pulls them right back. He doesn't change his mind. I said, he doesn't change his mind. I found this is really true. The Lord doesn't change his mind as often as we do sometimes. His word's still just the same. So what did he do? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. Now he told them that before. But ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. The last words they heard Jesus say was that they were going to receive this endowment of power. The last words that fell from his wonderful lips was that they should tarry until they received that anointing from on high. And yet the truth is, dear friend, of the 500 that heard these words, the Bible records that only 120 of them went to the upper room. Far more than half, you see, it would be 380, found other things to do, other places to go. They just couldn't take that time. They wanted to go out perhaps and bring in the kingdom, you know. They were ready to do it themselves. They had an inspiration. Thank God for inspiration. But you see, the Bible says the 120 went to the upper room to wait for this promise of the Father. And now they had laid before them something of what was to happen. Oh, they didn't know just how it was going to be. They just realized that Jesus had compared it to the baptism that John gave. He said, John baptizes you in water, but I'm going to baptize you men in the Holy Ghost. Now, ladies, hold on. There were some women in that upper room, too. In fact, if you're here and you have a Catholic background, you can be glad for this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the 120 in the upper room. Yes, Mary spoke with tongues. Hallelujah. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll find it there in the book of Acts. She was there. It names her with the others. And it says the Holy Spirit came upon all of them. Must have met Mary too. Don't you know it did? So she sets a beautiful pattern, you see, beloved. And in this respect, we thank God for Mary. Then it was her faith that committed her to God. She so readily accepted the words of this greater son of hers. She knew where it came from. And when he said, go tarry, listen, Mary didn't waste any time, you know. She went right to that upper room. She was there when the Spirit of God fell upon them. I'm sure that she was. The Scripture names her there. And dear friend, we do well to emulate her in this, obeying the words of our blessed Lord. She always pointed men to her son. She too faith out of the picture. She says, whatsoever he saith unto you, you do it. Listen to his word. Oh, friend, Mary would have us all to recognize this son of hers. He's the mediator between God and man. He's the one that, beloved, died on that cross. One hand, as it were, reaching to heaven, the other hand reaching to you and to me. And the Bible says, through that cross, by his death, we are reconciled unto God in one body, his own body. Dear friend, I want you to know tonight, it's Jesus Christ that has pulled the world to God. All that will come to God through him, friend, find their accepted in the Lord Jesus and accepted in the Beloved. So they go to tarry, to wait. I'm sure they're wondering now, just how is this going to be? Just like we do sometimes. Oh my, I said, what can this be? Well, he said, you shall be baptized. Now, this word, I won't make a Bible study out of this tonight, but as you perhaps know, the word is baptizo, and it does mean immerse. In fact, it's the word they used over, well, in Acts. I could give this to you in many more places, but verse 14 of chapter 16, and it was at Philippi. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. In other words, Paul and his companions were entertained in the home of Lydia. And notice it says she was a seller of purple. And if you'll make a study of this, it's quite interesting. This purple that she sold, it was material, of course. Now, the way it was made purple was a secret formula. In those days, many times a family would have what they call their own formula for dyeing material. It was a purple dye made of certain roots, you know, and certain things. This dye, when once it was properly done, the material would never be the same. And of course, they would prepare a huge vat. And they would prepare the dye, first of all. Then they would go to the marketplace, and there they would buy ordinary material at a common price. They would bring that material back, And they would place this material in the vat, and the same word used there, they would baptize that material. They would immerse that material in this dye. You ladies know that when you dye something, you have to immerse it. It wouldn't do to sprinkle it with dye, would it? That wouldn't look too good. Well, I tell you, my wife, she loves to dye things. And I'll confess, as a rule, she makes a tremendous improvement. But you know, there have been a few times, she, my wife is thrifty too. She gets that from her daddy, you know. And she hates to waste anything. So she has quite a vat of dye, you know, that she's prepared to dye something of hers. Well, she has something left over, so she doesn't want to waste it. So sometimes I come home to a brand new wardrobe. I said, honey, where's that gray shirt? Well, honey, she said, I just thought maybe it'd look better, you know, now, and I think you'll like it green now for a while, you know. Or something else. And as I said, as a rule, she's improved it, but whenever she gets some dye, the dye, so I just start, oh me, I wonder what's going to happen, you know, when I see dye come around that. Because she's not content until she uses all the dye up, you know. And I nearly die, you know. I mean, I do remember once, and I'm sure she won't mind me telling this, because she laughed about it too. But she wanted to dye a shirt of mine, and I forgot now the details, but I had the shirt on somewhere, and it had become spotted with some kind of a paraffin or something that had penetrated the material, and yet when she washed it, it didn't show up, you know. But yet it hadn't come out of the material. Now, you ladies know what happened when she dyed that shirt. She didn't show that one to me. I said, honey, where's my shirt? She said, well, honey, I got rid of it. Because, you see, it wasn't properly prepared, and when she dyed, only it just dyed in spots, you know. It came out just the places that were thoroughly clean were the only things that the dye penetrated, you see. Well, I'm just giving the picture. Lydia had this dye prepared. She took the material, common material bought it at an ordinary price, but she knew what would happen. She knew when she immersed that material in this dye and left it there the appointed time, brought it out, let it dry in the sun, that there would be a luster, there would be a quality, there would be something about that material that would enhance its value. In fact, she would go back to the same marketplace where she had bought it, the same marketplace where it was just ordinary material, but she would take the material that had been thoroughly prepared and thoroughly dyed. You see, that material, every thread had been imbued with this dye. It would never be the same. She would take that material back and hold it up, and of course, here would come the ladies, they would gather around. Oh, Lydia, how beautiful, how much. Well, of course, now the price is much, much more. You see, friend, it's the same material, but it's that in which it's been dyed, it's that in which it's been baptized that has enhanced its value. It's taken on a new luster. It's taken on a new glow. And it can never be the same again. And all the quality of it, that it's tremendous now because, you see, it's been dyed in something that's enhanced its value. Now, dear friend of mine, this is why we believe in water baptism by immersion. It typifies a death, the resurrection of our Lord. It shows we too have died to the old life. We've risen to walk in newness of life. But Jesus uses this when it comes to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Beloved, he just takes all of us. Now let's face it, beloved. We're all just like the material bought at the marketplace. We're common, ordinary people. None of us can exalt ourselves above another. There aren't any big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We all come in the same way. In fact, for those that feel perhaps they're high, they're mighty, those who may even be rich in this world, oh no, they're not turned away. But dear friend, the Bible tells us that there are those who have to humble themselves to come in the door. Then there are those who feel like they're the outcasts. There are those that feel like that society has rejected them, and the Satan will tell them there's no place for them. But oh, dear friend, they find when they look to Jesus Christ, they're lifted up from their degradation, from their shame, and they come in the the same door. Hallelujah. Oh, let me say it again, friend. The Lord brings us all in at the same door of Calvary. And beloved, he cleanses us all with the same glorious cleansing agency. And that's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, it's that shedding of his blood. There'll never be an infilling of his spirit until we've been thoroughly cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. As the material I was referring to, it didn't take the dye if it weren't properly cleansed. The cleansing had to precede the baptizing. It had to be properly cleansed in order to receive this new quality. Now, beloved, don't feel like this excludes any of us, because God's provided the cleansing. Hallelujah. God's made it available. We come as we are. We don't try to present ourselves on any merit of our own. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter whether we've grown up in this church or another, whether we've known about it or whether we haven't. Dear friend, in all of our hearts, there's something that responds to this wonderful call. There's something in us that wants to be filled with the love of God. We were made that way. We have a built-in hunger for God. And so when we come, God just takes us, cleanses us. Oh, bless his name. I care not how soiled our souls might have become by failures of the past. I believe tonight the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all our sins. I believe, beloved, that though our sins be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Friend, it doesn't matter the deep stains that sin have caused in our lives. There's a cleansing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stain. Now, friend, that prepares us out tonight. The cleansing of the blood, the accepting of Jesus Christ, his death for us on the cross, recognizing that, beloved, we all need such a cleansing, recognizing the efficacy and the power of his precious blood. Dear friend, as we recognize that, we're cleansed by that precious blood. And then all he needs, friend, is for you and me to present ourselves to him in full submission, to make him the Lord of our lives. And that he's just waiting to take us. Jesus is. Take us in his loving arms and immerse us. As Lydia immersed the material, so he takes our lives and he immerses us in this glorious reality, the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost by which we were born again. It isn't another spirit. He's the same Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. But this same Spirit that affected the new birth within us, how many know we're all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ? That's salvation. We all are born again the same way. It doesn't matter what church, if we're really saved, it's because we've been born by the Spirit of God. We've been born again, as Jesus taught Nicodemus in John 3. But we've been born of the Spirit. But Jesus, beloved, as we come to him and yield to him, submit our wills to him, then Jesus takes us, friend, and just as the minister takes us and immerses us in water to signify, you see, this death to this world, this death to sin, our living to God. So Jesus takes us and he immerses us, hallelujah, in the glorious reality of the Holy Ghost until, friend, that wonderful Spirit of God permeates and saturates every part of our being. Sometimes our flesh may tremble. No wonder we recognize our lives, as it were, we're being invaded from heaven. The Holy Spirit invades our minds and renews it. He invades our very bodies. For the Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temples of God? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And friend, as we recognize this Lord as he is Lord, that Holy Spirit comes to invade us, to penetrate, to permeate, to imbue our lives with something far greater than the purple of Lydia's material. Something that enriches our lives. Something, beloved, that relieves us of all the impoverishment of our sins, of our failures. The Holy Spirit comes, beloved, to make us realize we're sons of God. Hallelujah. To help us recognize that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to be forgiven. But friend, you'll never realize fully your mind, my mind, no person's mind, I don't believe, can fully grasp the reality until the Holy Spirit can come and quicken and enliven our minds and renew our minds until that blessed word becomes real and living by the Holy Spirit. We're immersed. We're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is why we like to see people go on in this wonderful experience. If you weren't satisfied, if you received a blessing from the Lord, never deny it, never discount it. But friend, if you sense something is lacking, just say, Lord, I want you to just take me a little deeper in that rich experience. I want you to just, well, may I say it reverently? I think sometimes, you know, Lydia had to leave that material under there for a while. If you want it really dyed, you have to leave it under, don't you, ladies? She didn't just put it down. Now, it doesn't take the Lord long. He's ready. Oh, he's so willing. But I like to see people, as some testified tonight, just keep loving Jesus. And our little sister testified, she told me, she said, you know, Brother McCann, she said, the Lord's giving me rest now, but she said for several nights, the Lord kept me awake for 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, just letting me speak in other tongues and worship him. You know what he's doing? He's just holding her under a little while. He wanted her to be so permeated and so imbued with this Holy Spirit that her life will be ever enriched, you see. And friend, thank God for his blessings he's given us. But I think all of us want to stay in that holy stream. Not just once, but oh, I'm glad that we can go back again and again. While the Holy Spirit never departs, he abides with us forever. But I'm glad that we can yield anew. And Jesus can just hold us in that glory and in that reality. Hallelujah. Friend, Jesus is real tonight. This old world in which we live, this is what's changing. This world is what can deceive us. These visible things are the things you really can't count upon. Haven't we found that out? But I promise you, friend of mine, as we let the Holy Spirit lead us deeper, and we let the Lord Jesus hold us in that reality, friend, the things of God can become more real and more satisfying and more lasting than these things of time. I believe, beloved, that God the Holy Ghost can make our lives so enriched and so different by his power. No credit to us. No. We're ordinary material. We'll always tell the people that God has saved us by his grace, but now we're sons of God and his Spirit has come into our lives, and all the joy that we share just because we were willing to make Jesus Lord. Dear friend, tonight, this is what this poor old world tonight is needing and looking and longing for, is what Jesus Christ has brought to us by his death, by his resurrection, and by his sending the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Lord, he told them, be sure you go now and tarry there till you're endued with power from on high. And they waited 10 days. The Holy Spirit came. We don't have to necessarily now wait 10 days, for he's come. He's in the world. It's just when we can bring ourselves to that moment of full surrender. Some do it right away. I've seen many people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit the same night. In fact, as we witnessed to you, that's what happened to our sister Walker when we were here last time. She was saved that Sunday morning, Sunday night. She didn't even know what it was, but she went under. I think she's been under most of the time since. Hallelujah. But it's just wonderful, because when you're under the water, you're not so conscious of the old world anyhow. You're not so worried about the, you know, oh my, thoughts are coming to me, but I was a little fellow, and some of you will remember this because some of you probably did the same thing. But you know, we boys, we'd always daring each other, and this before I was saved, but we'd go out in the country in the spring, early in the spring, and oh, it'd still be biting cold, but we'd dare each other. We'd go way out in the country there, you know, to the old swimming hole, say, oh, come on, I dare you to go swimming, you know. And oh, it was cold. But finally, we'd accept the dare. Well, you know what we found out? The way to really enjoy that was not to just, you know, wait around the edge of that water. The wind would just chill you to the bone. We just catch our breath and run and plunge in. And the deeper you went, the warmer it was. Amen. And staying in the water kept out the wind that was blowing on the outside, you know. Well, may I say this reverently? You know, and really, that's how the Lord is going to help this Baptist boy. He got me so hungry for this thing. Well, he did it through you people. You just made me so hungry to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, well, Lord, I know I'm saved, and I had been about a year. I know you're real, but dear Lord, they're enjoying something I haven't enjoyed yet. I know it's just more of you, and Lord, I want that too. And I didn't know much of the theology, but friend, they had whetted my appetite, and the Lord said, they that hunger and thirst shall be filled, you know. And so when they finally got it over to me enough to know what it was, about the third service, the pastor, the preacher, he said, now if you want this fullness, you just come, and it's for you, all that will come. If you're thirsty, come. I was 16 years old, and I was one of those bean poles, you know, tall and thin, you know. I don't know how I got to the altar so quickly. I must have run. The intense hunger. I'm glad we can get that way about Jesus. I'm glad he can wean us away from this old world. He can cleanse our hearts from our old sins until we don't want them anymore. We've shaken off the things of this world. We'd rather have Jesus than anything. Oh, we know that he's having to help us. He's having to teach us. But we know we want him. We know we love him. We know we want to please him. And friend, he can give us such a desire that it just doesn't matter anymore, just so we can please our blessed Lord. Can you say amen? Well, that's what had happened to me. And I said, oh, Lord, I just must have this. This is what I'm hungry for. And about that third service, they let it know, this is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he opened up those altars. The next thing I knew, my big old skinny, tall, 6'3", was across the altar. I must have run down there. You know, the first service, I was way in the back. The second service, about halfway. The third service, I was right down here. And the next service, I was right down here. You know, well, you've got to get in the water to get baptized. And you know, it doesn't matter how big you are, but if you are a little big, you've got to just go a little deeper, that's all. My, you're quiet tonight. I've had a lot of baptismal services. I was telling your dear pastor, he mentioned about the last time, the water being so cold. And I remember so well, we were in Western Kansas. We didn't have a baptistry there, and we had a number of 20-some-odd to be baptized in water. I found an abandoned rock quarry where they had excavated rocks, you know, and a beautiful little lake had been formed there, and the water was as clear as a crystal, and it was in the early spring, and it was cold. If I remember, wasn't there a little ice yet around? It was just ice cold. Oh, that water was cold. And we had this baptismal service, and as I said, a large number. We had children, young people, and several older ones. In fact, we'd had some men that had been saved. Some hard sinners that God had broken through in their lives. Some of them had been alcoholics. They'd been saved and delivered. Already many of them had been filled with spirit. And they were all sizes, you know, little ones right on up. Well, one or two of them was taller than I was and much larger. And some of them said, Brother McKenzie, can you baptize those fellows? I said, sure, I'll just take them deeper. I'll never forget, that's what I did, you know. I went out the day before because I wasn't familiar there with this little place. And with no one around, I wanted to test it out. So I took me a stick and I walked out in the water, you know, and went out until I was deep enough for proper baptizing. And I found right out there that they digging out the rock, there was a shaft that went right straight down, you know. Just went right down. I don't know how deep it was. And so I thought, I'd better mark it here. I didn't want to get baptized too, you know. I drove a stake there and so that I'd know where the edge was. And oh, you ought to see, it was beautiful. That day we came out there, and of course I had the little ones first, and then I had them line according to size. And I used to have people come and outdoor anywhere. I like to have them give a word of testimony, and here these little ones were testifying for Jesus. I baptized them there in the shallow water, and the bigger they got, I just kept backing up, backing up, backing up. And they kept getting larger and larger. And finally, my back was right against that stake. And the last two men were, all those fellows were big men, huge men. One had been the village blacksmith. And he was a great big muscular man. The Lord had wonderfully saved him. He was one of the alcoholics. The other one was Gail Lawton. He was taller than I. And so I was right up against the stake. And so I took the dear man, they gave a wonderful testimony. I immersed them, you know, it's a beautiful thing. The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all they came up praising God. I've seen many come up, receive the Holy Spirit when they've been baptized in water. They just come up, they yield the Lord, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's God's ready when we're ready. That's a good time if you haven't been filled with Spirit. When you're immersed with water, just let your faith reach out to the Lord. It'd just be a good time to get a double baptizing, wouldn't it? Well, this last one, Gale, if I remember. I remember as I helped him up. Now, they'll never know this, and don't you dare tell those people this at Garden City, because they're the kind that like to tease a little, and they never would let me forget it. But when I lifted him up, I saw he was, he started to slip just a little, so I pushed to help him up. And when I pushed, he went up all right, but I went back. I went over the cliff, but I didn't go under. Now, they'll never know this. Now, I didn't tell them. I didn't tell my wife for a while, because I thought she might let it slip. When I pushed back, I went out, and there I was. I knew I was in deep water. I didn't know how deep. But when I was a little fellow, my dad had taught us boys how to tread. Some of you men know what I mean. You know, you just tread in water. You can move your feet a certain way, and you can just stand erect right there in water over your head. So here I was, big old smile on my face, and there's the, and I was treading. I knew if I were to have gone under, friend, I tell you, it made another chapter in the book, believe me. They never would have forgotten it. But I finally managed, treading the water. I finally got my feet back on the land, and by that time they were all rejoicing and thanking the Lord, and I was so glad they were. But, well, it's just wonderful to watch how God works. I just love to see those times. But I told you that to tell you this. Friend, I'm glad the Lord has a depth for us all. Are you listening? I said he has a depth for us all. If you haven't been satisfied, just go a little bit deeper. If you haven't really had your heart really filled, don't discount what he's done. Just go a little bit deeper. Say, Lord, I'll just go out there a little further this time. I'll just make sure, Lord, that I'm far enough away from the shoreline, that I'm out there in my depth. Now, God has a depth for us. It's more or less like water. The deeper you go, the less there is of self-seeing. And the last thing that goes under is our old head. I said the last thing goes under is our head. And I think some of you are all under, but just your head. You love the Lord, you know you're saved, but you're trying to figure this out. You're wondering why, and we've all done. I'm not criticizing. Dear friend, I'm glad to tell you, you can trust those arms. Are you listening to me? You're in Jesus' arms. He's the one that's holding you. He's the one that's loving you. It's your Lord, Jesus. You can well afford to just say, yes, Lord Jesus, I yield all to you. You can well afford to say, take me on deeper if need be. Dear Lord, just take me to my death. Lord, where I will be thoroughly immersed. Lord, I don't want to be the same. Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to invade my life. I want your Holy Spirit to renew my mind. Lord, I don't want to have a carnal mind. I don't want to have a mind that's bound by the things of this world. I want you, Lord, to invade my life until you can rule and you can reign. And Lord Jesus, knowing that you're in my life, I can have the strength within. I can have that something, that spiritual stamina, that something from God, that I can say yes to God and no to the world. Hallelujah. And friend, let me say it tonight. It's wonderful to be saved, and this all begins with salvation. But I believe the Holy Spirit of God strengthens us and gives us a spiritual backbone whereby we can stand more firmly, lift our hands more highly, give more praise to the Lord. For he, when he has come, the Spirit of truth in all of his fullness, friends, he perfects the praises of God in the lips of the people of God. We're living in an hour, dear friend, when God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. I know not, need not tell you this, but in these last days, as he promised in that little book of Joel, he said, it shall come to pass, I will pour out my Spirit. He said, it will be upon all flesh. He said, I gave you the former rain moderately, but the latter rain shall come in copious showers. Why is it, friend, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound? And in a world that's being bathed, if you please, by Satan's invasion of witchcraft and spiritism and the vile, ugly things that attend those things, friend, I want you to know there's another invasion. The Holy Spirit of God is moving through this whole world of ours. The islands of the seas are experiencing it. Africa and
India. They're all looking at hundreds and thousands, yea, millions. A recent report showed that even in Africa alone, there are 30-some million who now have been filled with the Holy Spirit and who are lifting their hands praising God. Friend, this is no small matter. The Holy Spirit is being poured out, a mighty river of God. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, that all men can enjoy the riches of his grace. And God's leading his dear people, red, yellow, black, and white. He's leading them out in these holy waters. We're getting colorblind. It doesn't matter anymore. Just being lost in God is all that counts. Are you listening to me tonight? Jesus is being made Lord. Jesus is being lifted up for the Holy Spirit, friend. The one requisite is that Jesus be Lord. We cannot make our theories. We cannot make our tradition. We cannot make our preconceived ideas. We cannot make our own minds our Lord. We must bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And beloved, in doing that, we bow to his wonderful word. And we recognize that all men are equal in the sight of God. And we're brothers and we're sisters in this great plan of God. Hallelujah. And John, when he saw the number coming up out of a world of tribulation, a world, if you please, that it was in these last days will be baptized in awful tribulation. But John said he saw a number that no man could number. He said they came out of every kindred, out of every tongue and every tribe. He said there they were all represented. He said they were all clothed in white. They were all praising God. He said they all, well, to him, they all just looked alike. Hallelujah. Why? They've all been filled with the same Holy Spirit, this same glorious heavenly something, friend, that brings us to the Lord Jesus in full surrender and blends us together. Hallelujah. And oh, friend, it isn't going to be long until there'll be a place called heaven whose doors will swing wide, and there'll be a great host, the redeemed of all ages, that will come, those, friend, of every country and clime, and they'll take their place in that beautiful land and rejoice around the throne of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can hardly wait, dear friend. Oh, it's wonderful to serve him down here, but this is the first little chapter of the book. Friend, I want you to know there's a lot awaiting those who will love Jesus Christ and yield to him. This is just the beginning of it. Now he's telling us what to do. He's saying, till I come, don't make dates. Don't worry about the times. Don't get heady. Don't get high-minded. He said, knowledge puffeth up, but he says, love edifies. Get full of love, and the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. He said, just get filled with the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness for me, so you can be among the number that will welcome my return. How are we going to welcome his return? We'll do it, friend, as they did it there at his triumphal entry. What were they doing? They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And when they tried to hush them, Jesus said, stay them not. He said, if these hold their peace, the stones will cry out. Friend, I want you to know, in these last days, the Lord's coming again, and there'll be a great triumph of praise, and even now it's beginning, a praise, an anthem of praise, arising from the hearts of men who've been redeemed, who've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and whose voices have now been set free, and they're praising and magnifying the mighty name of Jesus, and he's coming, beloved. Hallelujah. Who is this King of glory? The psalmist said, who is this? He said, lift up ye gates, be ye lifted up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Oh, friend, the gates being lifted up are the hands of the people of God. The doors, friend, are our open mouths to praise him and magnify him. He's coming back amongst the praise of the saints to be adored and worshiped and magnified. And I'm glad we don't have to wait till that day to crown him King, but we crown him King in our hearts. We magnify him now. And when that day comes, friend, we'll join in the heavenly anthem and take our place in that great choir of the redeemed to worship our Lord and magnify him and enjoy the unfolding glories of eternity. And it'll take all eternity for all the glory to be revealed.
Why don't you just lift your hands right where you are? Why don't you just open your heart right where you are? The river's here. I believe God's river's flowing tonight. And that's right. He can fill us right here, young people. Just let that river flow over your life. Just say, Jesus, I'm willing to yield in your loving arms right now. I'm willing, Lord, for you to just take me, Lord,
and immerse me, Lord. Oh, to hide me even from myself, no longer I, but Christ. Jesus, Lord, I yield to you now. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, in your name, I commend these precious young people to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Take each one of them, Lord, individually to their depth in God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I know you love them, each one. I know, Lord, right now, take them a little deeper, Lord. Oh, let the mind go under, Lord, with its reasonings. Let it just acquiesce to the Spirit of God. Let it just acquiesce to the Word of God. Let these mothers and dads, God, bless them tonight. Oh, Jesus, you know the things of the world. But right now, Lord, I thank you for just, Lord, immersing them in the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hasiata. Resiananamaya. Just receive the Holy Spirit. Let the cabresia, let thy river flow now, Father. I commend this congregation to the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you. Holy Spirit of God, we reverence you. We worship our Lord Jesus. We yield to him now. We crown him Lord and Master. Yes, we yield our lives for the cleansing, the purging of. We recognize Jesus now, right now. Be it there where you are, dear friend. The river's flowing. It's nigh to every life tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive. Receive tonight. Ikata rendalamaya. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord.